Alante here. Before I start this week's episode, I want to thank you for taking time to listen to this audio blog. Blacken and Grad School was created to encourage and empower women and people of color to and through the grad school journey. Enjoy!
What's up, y'all? It's Alante with another episode of Blacken and Grad School. I think I'm going to change the name to Blacken Grad School because all of a sudden the plus sign just seems extra and I don't like it anymore. So you might see that coming up soon. So I'm really excited about today's episode because I'm releasing it the day before my birthday, y'all. I don't believe it. I am about to be a whole ass 29, and I thought I would be approaching this age with all of this anxiety and just being very much so like stressed about where I am, but I'm actually pretty much at ease and I'm very grateful for that. I didn't know how I'd feel, you know, I didn't know where I'd be, but I think that I know I can confidently say like I'm really happy about where I'm at. I feel very much so like I'm where I'm supposed to be in my life. And that's a really good feeling to have, especially when it doesn't look like what everyone expects it to look like, right? Like people expect me to be, you know, about tied down, you know, ready to have kids, done with school, you know, all of these things. And that's just not my situation, but I don't know. And I'm still like very happy, but instead of the usual format, today I'm going to share 28 things I've learned over the last 28 years, well, probably not less, over the last year rather, and hopefully you enjoy it. Some of it's related to grad school, some of it's just life. A lot of it has just been me reflecting on, like I said, where I'm at and where my mind is at this point in my life, and so you know, rock with it. If not, I have a bunch of other episodes. This is episode 23, so there are 22 other episodes that you can listen to, or 21 and 22 more other episodes to listen to if this is just not your jam. Totally understand. But I'm gonna get to it. So these aren't in any particular order, but the first thing I wrote, I kind of just like sat down and like wrote out 28 things and just kind of let it flow freely. The first thing was like, I'm detaching my worth from my productivity. And so I have sort of, I don't want to say grown up, but I've always felt very much so tied to my productivity. Like I feel like everything I'm doing is like because I'm supposed to. Like I'm supposed to be maximizing my productivity. And I guess to me, in my mind, my maximum was to like get a PhD and to have this career, but also doing, you know, this podcast on the side and still maintaining like other things, to me is the most productive thing to do. And I remember I was talking to someone before saying like in some of the previous businesses I've started, it was kind of like I have all this free time, I should do something productive, like make money. Not because I was passionate about it or it was important to me, but really just feeling like it's what I should be doing with all this free time I had, you know, as a single woman with a really lax job. So I took classes and I had businesses and all these things. And I kept not really doing that great with it because I didn't really like it or I wasn't really passionate about it. So I don't know, just trying to detach myself from that idea of being productive. And I feel like even when I'm talking, a lot of it is like, well, that's not very productive. That's the phrase that I'm using. So trying to just appreciate myself as I am is a thing I'm working on right now. And then also, I don't know why I started like feeling kind of heavy, but I did. So I've learned a really major lesson so far really in 2018 about the difference between hiding and humility. So I've never been one to share a lot of my achievements with people because again, I've always been under the thought of like, that's what I'm supposed to do, but also like not wanting attention because I felt like I didn't want to have to deal with anyone responding negatively, or kind of the way I didn't want them to respond, right? Like, typically if someone gives me good news, I like to respond with a lot of enthusiasm, and like, I'm probably a bit extra, but I'm very excited and very bubbly. I'm like, you know, depending on what it is, I'm screaming. Like, I'm just really like full of energy when something good happens to someone I care about. And everyone doesn't respond that way. Everyone isn't even able to be present when you tell them good news. And so sometimes you're not going to get that response from people. And I think I've always been really sensitive to that. And so instead of saying anything, I'd rather say nothing, so like I can't be disappointed. But a lot of people will say like, oh, Alante, you're so humble. Like, you never tell people what's going on. And I guess it's kind of me realizing like, it's not because I'm humble, it's because of some other things that I'm working through. So I'm trying to kind of like unlearn this habit, and I'll probably be sharing things because I usually don't in this episode as a way of like trying to unlearn this really bad habit I have. Another thing is that I'm finding a new groove as a graduate student. So like, I've talked about before the difference in my life before and after, and one of them being like, even though I'm low-key up at like 12:15 recording this, I don't want that. That's not my usual case. I like to be in the bed at 10 o'clock, sleep by 10:30, 11, up by 5 is like, that is a great, like, I'm happy when I wake up like that, with, you know, well-rested at 5, and waking up at 5 a.m. But just understanding also that even when I travel, like, I have kind of like competing priorities, or I have to just do a lot of work beforehand, and so trying that groove is a whole thing too, like just trying to figure out what's what, or recalibrating when I get back to Pittsburgh. The fourth one is I can set goals and accomplish them. This is relatively simple, but I'm a bit of a procrastinator. I'm getting better, I really am, but like, I'm still a procrastinator. And so I often kind of beat myself up because I've accomplished goals, but I wait till the very last second to do it. Like, be it a personal deadline or a deadline imposed upon me by some external force. Honestly, external sources are the best deadlines for me personally. But anyways, so the point is, I have to like stop and realize that I can set goals and accomplish them. Like, this time last year, I put, well, like really in like December of 2016 going into 17, I stated like, I want to be in a PhD program. You know, it was either here or Maryland, and you know, I got in, and I'm here, and I'm in a program, and I fulfilled that desire, you know, and I set goals for this endeavor, and you know, I need to set some more. Actually, I need to set some measurable goals now for where I'm at in this endeavor. But like, I can set goals, I can accomplish them, and so I'm just kind of, I don't know, I have to stop and just kind of notice that about myself and be proud of it. Also, I'm becoming more flexible with myself and accounting for my tendencies, which is kind of like the last one. Like, I realized, like, today was so funny. I had some work to do, and so I knew after, I had a meeting at 11 a.m., and then I had a break from noon to 3:30. I'm like, okay, I'm going to work on this homework assignment from noon to 3:30. And honestly, I probably could have done it in that chunk of time. But near the end, like after about 2.5 hours studying, I just get kind of antsy and I'm not really feeling it. So I kind of accounted for that time and put a second chunk of time in my schedule after my 3:30 class to finish the work. And it was so funny because the thing pinged. I was already sitting down at the desk getting to that work. Like, my calendar pinged, and then I was in my class and I had like a 30-minute ahead of time reminder of like, when I get out of class, I'm going to finish that work, which is what I had planned to do. But like, setting those types of, putting those things in my schedule just like kind of like relieves me, and also like is more realistic with me planning out like my coursework and when I'll be able to fit things like the podcast into my schedule. Also, I'm honoring myself more. So I did something that felt almost revolutionary on Saturday. I was in a bad mood, but like I said, my birthday is coming up, so I get very reflective and like to think about, you know, what is it that's important to me when I'm coming into this next year of my life, you know. And I was just kind of like, I don't feel like talking today. Like, a couple friends called and I looked at the phone and let it ring, and I felt like this guilt, like, how could I not answer a friend's call? But it's like, I don't feel like talking. And if I don't feel like talking, I don't have to. And that just felt like wild to me, but kind of like speaks to me always putting like other people's needs in front of my own. Because I just needed some quiet time. I needed a very relaxing, reflective Saturday. And I was able to have that. And it was very nice. And I want to do that more because it felt good. Like, putting myself first and what I wanted to do first. Also coming to terms with some of my limitations, which is my budget. So I'm downsizing in a very major way in a couple of months. I'm like not excited about it, but I am. Like, I have to get a roommate, which I know to most people isn't a big deal, but I'm an only child. I've always grown up in my own room. Only time I had roommates, 4 out of the 5 years I was in college, and I haven't had a roommate since. So, not like a year-long roommate. Like, every now and then in transitions, like, when I finished my master's and I didn't want to, like, renew my lease in Champaign, I stayed with my friend for, like, a month. My friend Kelsey, right, who was on last week's episode. Or when I was getting ready to move here, I stayed with a friend for, like, 2 months. But, like, we're talking about out of the last 4 years, I've lived with someone for 3 months total. Yeah, so I'm not excited about it, but the savings is ridiculous. I'll be able to do a lot more of what's really more important to me, which is like traveling and saving my money. I'm really thinking about, you know, making some major purchases in the coming year. So I want to like have my finances in order. So, yeah. And also being more, that's like me being more flexible with myself. Like, if I know I want to travel, and I'm never home, y'all. Like, I pretty much come home, eat, shower, and go to sleep and wake up and do it again. I'm out of my house by like at the latest on a late day 10, but I'm back home 7, 8, 9, 10. So, you know, I'm not here. It's no point in me paying all this rent and I'm never here. But anyways, I said I'm a good friend most of the time. I just wanted to say that. Right now, yeah, I'm in my head down season. When people ask me how I'm doing, I'm like, man, I'm working. But it's not I'm not, like, sad about it. Like, that's just where I'm at right now. The school shit is intense and it's time consuming. And I'm just head down. Like, I've been minding my business. I've been working out, doing my work, doing what I can to grow this. And I've been doing me. I've been focused on myself, like. And it's been lovely, okay? It's been drama-free. I feel like I've been growing. Just been focused on myself. It's just been lovely. And I suggest everyone do it. But I'm just, yeah, like I said, in my head down season, I'm grinding. And that's just what it is right now. I like going to bed early. That's number 10. I used to be like a night owl. Like I pretty much completed my master's on a like 10 to like 2-3 a.m. 10 p.m. to 2-3 a.m. like work schedule. Like I didn't really do work during the day. Like I did school work, but I did my research at night. And I would just wake up at like noon and start my day. But I actually really like waking up early because I get to go really slow with my morning and have it to myself. So I'm like, when I'm up at 5, I don't really get to anything till like 7 or 7:30. But it's still early in the day to be just getting my day started. But I was able to spend the first 2 hours. You know, sometimes I will need to journal for a long time, or, you know, I'm able to work out and meditate and do all these things. So I think it's really great. Also, in this last
since this year started, I lost 10 pounds, which I'm really happy about. Lost it super healthy, right? Like, it's April, so it took me about 7 weeks to lose the 10 pounds. I have a very simple, I eat salads for lunch. I try to drink pretty much water, tea, and La Croix because I'm like bougie hipster girl. And I work out for like 15, 20 minutes, 3 or 4 days out the week. And so I feel like it's been really great for me, and I'm trying to just make sure I keep it up, and I keep my I eat whatever. I'm not much of a dinner person anyway. I've never been a big dinner person, so I make sure I eat breakfast and I eat lunch. I do eat dinner, but it's never like intention. It's not like a lot of intentional healthy choices, like whatever I want to eat. The best book I read in this past year was What Mama Couldn't Tell Us About Love, or Couldn't Teach Us About Love. And so I'm pulling this up on my Kindle. This book is so good, and I really recommend it for Black women. I don't know about Black men. I'm not going to say it wasn't good. I don't know. Maybe you like it, but it's, okay, here it is. What Mama Couldn't Tell Us About Love. Healing the Emotional Legacy of Racism by Celebrating Our Light. And, like, it kind of takes a trip down, you know. Well, it connects, like, some of the, I'll say the, I don't want to say ills, but some of the challenges that we as Black women and Black people have with intimacy, and it's rooted in slavery and systemic racism. And how can you love yourself when it was ingrained in us for 300 years to, you know, we kind of were detached from ourselves because we weren't seen as people. And it kind of really goes into some really deep stuff about, like, pretty much the generational effects of slavery on how we view ourselves, and how, like I said, how we take care of ourselves, and how women, how we relate to each other as Black men and Black women. I just thought it was a really good book and really insightful in a place of, like, you know, sometimes I feel like when you hear about, like, someone in therapy, it's always like, it's because my mom did this and my mom did that. But then if you look at your mother, then it's like, well, she did that because her mother did this and her mother did that. And then, you know, you keep going down the line, and you realize, like, it probably all still does go back to, like, all of these traumatic experiences that Black women have had in our, in your lineage over time, and the behavior that they've exhibited to cope with that, and then, like, what we use to cope with our stresses and our triggers. So it's just been, it was a really interesting read, very reflective read. I really enjoyed that book. And the fact that it's by a Black woman talking about, you know, love and just, like, how hard that can be. I thought that was a really good book. Also, I Live and Breathe Octavia Butler. She's amazing too. If you want a fiction book, pretty much anything by her is amazing. I was able to leave the country twice, so that's kind of been my thing. It's 13. Pretty much since I turned like 22 or 23, I started traveling, and now, you know, I was like, I like to leave the country twice. If I leave the country twice a year, I'm happy. And I went to Paris and Mexico. And then number 14 is Life Goes On When You're in Grad School. I feel like this has just been even more ingrained in me in March. Like, my best friend's wedding and bridal shower was during March. One of my nearest and dearest friends had her 30th birthday. And those were events that I really was, like, adamant about not missing. But that meant that I really had a hard time striking a balance with school and doing all of the traveling related to attending and supporting my friends who, like I said, mean a lot. And those are the people who are going to be at my, you know, at my defense and here to celebrate with me. And I think that is what I'm now almost using as a barometer. Like, is this going to be a person who's going to actually show up to my events? Like, and maybe if they aren't, maybe I'm not going to go out of my way to be there, because it is a lot of, it's time consuming. it's a lot more stressful than I think people think. Like, I have so much work to do all the time. So going home and spending 4.5 hours each way driving in itself, that's 9 hours that I'm not getting work done. Plus, when I get there, you know, it's like being social and all that. So I've talked about this a million times, but I just wanted to mention that I'm still trying to figure it out. And then also that, like, not every friend makes it your whole life. I've been learning this lesson, I feel like, pretty, I don't want to say intense, but, like, consistently in the last couple of years. Like, people who I really thought were going to be my friends my entire life, like, I don't even talk to. And I think the first few couple of times, it, like, really hurt my feelings. But now I've almost come to terms with it. And it's not like there's always some dramatic thing that happened. It's just, like, our lives are so different. And really, we don't have as much in common as we used to. And also, I think for a lot of my friends, there are people who I used to spend a lot of time with. This is like when I was younger, because I'm very social. I like to go out. I love to meet new people. And when I'm out, I want to be around people who are like that, right? Who don't really need me up under them or next to them for them to have a good time. Because I let everyone know I'm going to leave you. I walk around the club. I walk around bars. Like, I'm just literally walking around. So if you need someone who's going to be with you, like, I am just not a good person to go places with. And so that's why I go with groups also. But because of that, the people I did social activities with weren't really the people I was the closest to. And I think at first I confused it. Like, if I spend all this time with you, we have to be close. But I now understand, like, I have party friends and I have, like, really close friends. And they overlap a lot more. But just kind of, like I said, coming to terms with, like, the fact that every friend's not going to make it. But in the same breath, I think one beautiful thing that's happened in this year is, like, reconciliation. So I've, you know, like, no friendships are perfect, but one of my, like, closest friends, she and I fell out for a number of years, and this year we were able to really have, like, a very mature talk and, like, see each other in a way, like, that we hadn't in many years. Like, I think for a while I saw it, but then she wasn't seeing it, and then we kind of switched places, and then she saw it, but I didn't see it for her. And we just got back on really good footing, and I think that's really great. And I'm happy it happened when it did, because I feel like certain conversations I wasn't mature enough to have when I was 25 and 26 that I can have now. And it's good, and I'm just more understanding, as is she. I don't know. It just was really great. It's just beautiful that, you know, some people that I thought you might think are, like, yeah, done, and we're never going to be friends again like we were. And I actually would still say that we won't be friends like we were, but I like the new place that we're in. I think that it's really great and real. And so I don't know, so that was kind of cute. Cool. I feel like at this point I'm just rambling. Oh my god, 22 minutes. Okay, so I'm like halfway, a little bit more than halfway. Also, these are all about, like, relationships and friendships that I've been learning about, like, also how I deal with difficult relationships. I have traditionally just threw them out. And so I am now not doing that anymore and having to identify if this is a difficult relationship or something I don't want to be a part of. Or what was it? Like, is this difficult? Or should you really not be a part of it? And yeah, so some relationships are just difficult. And so maybe I shouldn't just drop people as quickly. That's the whole thing. Also, learn to ask for more help. That is, like, my least favorite thing to do. I absolutely hate asking for help. It feels weak, but the reality is, like, half the time, if I feel like there are times when I won't perfect example, doing this homework today, I didn't want to go on the question site, because you can go ask questions to the professor, and I didn't want to go in there. I wanted to figure it out myself, spent a whole hour just to finally go check it, and it's like, oh, skip that stuff because I did it wrong. You know what I mean? Stuff like that that I do. It bothers me. Spent a whole hour, wasted an hour of my time trying to figure out some stuff that wasn't going to work. This is an accomplishment. So I got 40 under 40, which I was really happy about. Really happy about. Because I work hard. And it's nice to be recognized when you work hard. So I'm very grateful for it. Also another accomplishment, I doubled listeners in a little over a month. So I hit 2,000, I hit 1,000 in February, and last month, I want to say right before the last episode. So last episode, I think I dropped on the 27th. So like around March 23rd, March 20th, I doubled my listeners to 2,000 downloads. So excited. But that was exciting, and like I've done something consistently and worked at it, and people are rocking with it. It just made me happy. Number 22 was got into grad school. I'm proud of that, because again, something that I've, you know, worked hard for and spent 3 years telling other students how to do it. So I'm happy to know that my little system works. 23 is that I'm eager to learn most days. And I'm grateful for that, because I know there will come a day when, or a time when I'm not going to be eager. So I'm holding on to that. The last is mostly accomplishments, because I had to like think about things that I'm proud of that I accomplished. That I totally switched research fields. So how did I get here? Or who are you? I can't remember the name of the episode. That episode, I literally talk through my whole like graduate school research experience. But my background is ag engineering, for those who don't know, and I am now in civil engineering and engineering public policy. And your girl switched completely research fields, and I like am able to speak the jargon of this new research topic, and I'm actually presenting like a TED style talk next Monday. I'm actually excited about that. So I say that to say, like, I totally switched in a semester. I'm writing up a paper, like, you know, I'm proud of that. Like, that took effort and brain power, and these things don't come organic, and I'm acclimating and I'm adjusting, and that's something to be proud of. Another accomplishment thing that something I'm just proud of is like, I'm always rooting for my friends. Like, I'm really proud of them. I feel like I try my best to be one of their biggest cheerleaders, and they know, like, I'm always happy for them. I'm rooting for them. I'm in the trenches with them. Sometimes I do give a lot of that to people who maybe I shouldn't, but mostly it's my friends. I'm rooting for them. Also, I'm really proud. I stuck with the business from beginning to end. So I've spoken about the happening before, which was a brunch I did in Detroit. And my business partner just moved to San Francisco, and I live in Pittsburgh. So obviously no one lives in Detroit anymore. And so, like, we are trying to figure that out. But, like, it started in 2015, and it made it 2018, and we like consistently had events like pretty much every month. Every now and then we skip a month or two. I don't even think we ever skipped 2 months without having an event, and we did that, and that was just, to me, pretty amazing, because that is not what I usually do. Another thing, I took my mom on a trip. So right before I started school, before I started this podcast, I took my mother to Paris for 5 days, and we spent 3 or 4 days in New York as well. And I was just really, that was my gift to her, because I was like, I'm not about to have a salary. So yeah, I won't have any money to do anything nice for you, girl. So this is what you're gonna get. And it was a lovely trip. She had never been to Paris. I don't think that she would have been as adventurous if she didn't go with me. And we had a great time. I was able to, you know, spend, like I said, that really one-on-one time with my mom. She and I are both really busybodies. And so, like, even when I went home last weekend, it was her birthday, so she was out of town with my stepdad. And that's happened, like, 2 or 3 times since I've been gone where she's out of town when I come to visit. So it's not even like I see my mom every time I'm in Detroit. And even, like, the episode that she and I recorded, we were both in D.C. Like, that's the kind of lives that she and I both live. And so being able to go away on a trip is kind of a really good way for she and I to stop and talk and connect. And, you know, she's really a woman on the run, even more so than I am. So she's, like, always super-duper busy. And so it was just nice to, like, take a break, you know, give her a break, and it was just nice. And I was just proud of myself because I was able to do that. And there's a whole story behind that trip, because we were supposed to go to South Africa and we found out at the gate we weren't, and I bought the tickets to Paris right then, and I felt like a boss, I'm not gonna lie. But yeah, still did it though. And then the last thing, and it feels like it's, again, not the most important, but I don't know, it's the last thing, is the last thing I thought of, but I bought myself a car this year. Like, got the loan on my own, found the car, made a deal, paid for it all. I did it all by myself. Nobody helped me, you know. I feel like as a woman, you're always told when you go car shopping, you take a man with you. You know, people are going to try and get over on you and blah, 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 blah. I got a whole car by myself for a great price. It was a and this is an advantage, I'll admit, of living in Detroit. So it was a part of the corporate fleet for Chrysler, so it was like well kept, right? Like always on time, oil changes, barely driven. It was just sitting in this exec's park, like in his garage, because they bought it for their son, but he wanted like a different car. And I got it for a steal too. Like, my stepdad couldn't believe how much I paid for it. So, I did it by myself. Like, literally, I called the bank, like, can I get the loan? They're like, yep. I'm like, cool. How many days last? 60 days. Found a car. Paid for it. Had my down payment ready. You know, there wasn't no, like, little $50. Like, I had my couple stacks ready to put down on the car. And I just boom, 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 did it. I came to see my mom in a new car. She like, wow, you did, like, did it on my own. I just was proud of myself, you know. I just feel like I did it by myself. My boss, I know I'm grown now. But yeah, those are my 2018s. That's all I got. I hope you like it. Hope you learned a little bit more about me. I just want to remind you all that on Thursday I will be hosting another workshop online on the date is April 5th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on how to get through grad school. And I'll be talking about some of the unwritten rules of grad school, giving you some of my perspective, and also giving you some tools to get out of those sticky situations that you will probably find yourself in as a graduate student. Even if you are already attending graduate school, or if you are planning to attend in the future, you should know these things. Thank you so much for taking time to listen. I hope that you have an amazing week. And remember, grad school tough, but you're tougher. Bye, y'all. Shoot. I can't end it. Okay, there we go.
Hi, Alante again. I really want this project to be a resource for my fellow people of color and women in grad school. So if you have any questions or requests for topics, shoot me an email at alante@strengthsnotstrikes.com. That's A-L-L-A-N-T-E at strengthsnotstrikes.com. Please remember to subscribe and review and share with your other friends in grad school. Thank you.